The following is a question and answer session given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami in 1996 in ISKCON, Radhadesh.
Questions, and we could start off today answering those questions from yesterday. Yes?
It seems that there is a gradation of devotees, the leader and so on, up to the guest, and it seems that there is a rule that, for example, junior preacher is preached by senior preacher, not by someone higher in this gradation. Is it understandable?
Yes.
How is it motivated?
Each one. How is it? Each one teach one.
Is it the strict rule that, for example, leader don't preach?
Congregational people
all have limited time also. If one person teaches everybody, like we had in that meeting, the leader did meet with all the new people and spend time in that way in a group forum. But if he had to teach every... You see, what we're trying to work with Sachinandan Maharaj and the VTE, as well as we have something basic in the draft manual, would be, say, when a person newly joins, what should be the bhakta program for a new Namhati bhakta, so to speak? What are the basic things that they need to know before they can function in a normal way? So, you know, maybe like Prabhupada Pranam or chanting Japa, a few basic things they have to know, and then as they move up, it would become more. So it's not that the leader has to be train every single person how to chant Japa. You see, he can be assigned certain things can be assigned to the person's sponsor. In fact, even an older new person may sometime be able to take that. Maybe you have a shortage of junior preachers, or you don't have all these different gradations. Then you just take some of the devotees, a little senior, and can train up in the basic. You please help Bhaktin Mary. You please help Bhaktin Anna, and teach her how to. You'll be like the sponsor or the caretaker. You take care of her. See that she learns how to do the job. Help her through her. She has these 10 things she has to learn. The 10-point program. Japa, pranam, whatever, offering prasadam, few things. That we see what's according to the level they're on, then they have that program so that person can help. See, that's where I wanted to say, like this, having this siksha program, we call it siksha because we all know diksha. So siksha, this is your preliminary siksha, but could be called, that's just the easy word that they call it in Bangalore, so we're using that. You get someone who's basically committed to Krishna consciousness. They accept that Krishna is God. They accept Krishna consciousness. Then you come up. How many of you are using this program? Anyone has started using this? But how many are using this?
The way it is in Germany is that we have, in the natural course of preaching, people evolve like this, but we have not yet come to something like, I think it's in a systematic way and calling it as such. I know from preaching since many, many years, this is the natural progression which, you know, devotees take. I think when we get seriously into the cell group or bhakti branch preaching, we have to use it because so many more people to deal with.
Well, it's just like what they did before even they started the cells, for instance, in Bangalore. They just started announcing every Sunday. They put a brochure that we have a program. This is for the people, the members of the congregation who are interested in advancing spiritually. Which, you know, that you say things like that and most people think, well, I want to advance spiritually. And we'd like to recognize you. We want to recognize those of you who are already practicing. And you can enter. We have different programs for different people. You can, wherever you feel happy, you can enter. So you have the one-round program regularly coming. You have the four-round vegetarian and doing some service. Maybe doing 8 rounds, but vegetarian, but not following the other principles. You have the 8-round and Sadaka means that they're having altar in the house, they're performing basic sadhana bhakti to some degree, like in a very basic way. Then Prabhupada Asuraya, where they're basically the same level as a bhakta in the temple. They do everything a bhakta. From this point, you start counting their days to initiation. Taking Prabhupada Asuraya means you want to prepare to be initiated in the future. Then again, after you have Guru Asuraya, which is after some time they can choose a guru. And then finally they take the Harinam. Now, at the Rath Yatra in Bangalore, I saw about 80 people sign up. And many of them were children also, you know, little kids, they like, and they called up. And the ceremony was quite beautiful because they said they're getting the blessing from Prabhupada and the deities. The ceremony is giving them a blessing. It's not a vow, but as they've taken a commitment that they're doing to practice on this level. They maybe been already practicing for a month or so on that level. And you want to recognize and you pray, please, Gaur Nithai, have your blessing on the on Bhakta Guntik, or, I don't know, some, Katrin, whoever, and you give the benediction. They come up, you give them a garland, you give them, and then so many come up and they say how. Now, taking this blessing is also that then you should help others. And we have a to advance and be a good example in your... Now, I know, for instance, one rock and roll drummer who has been coming to the temple for, say, 10 years. And he cannot come up to... At that point, he could not come up to 16 rounds because he'd be up until 1 and 2 in the morning, you know, playing the drum for the groups and the nightclubs and all these places. But he believed in Krishna consciousness. He was vegetarian and he was chanting for 8 rounds... minimum 4, many times more, but not very steady, and maybe sometimes being in that environment, he might not always be avoiding some of the lighter stimulants which are around there, things like that, and he would not be so strong. So, but he was at a level, you could say he was at a Krishna sevak. And so when we gave him, in the temple, they gave him that blessing of Krishna sevak. He later came up to me and said, you know, I felt that in Krishna consciousness I could never belong because I couldn't see, I can't see like when I'm going to ever be able to be initiated. I'm very fallen. But now I feel like I've been accepted. And this is like one of the happiest days of my life. I mean, you know, probably initiated devotee, they're thinking, you know, like, what does all this mean? But for someone who's, you know, I mean, even Boy George, he could be maybe one of these, you know. And, you know, he feel, okay, I'm accepted in some level, you know, like... We know that to be one of these levels, you don't want to take the food they cook. We know that because we're underneath. But we know that they're trying and we encourage them and they've taken... It makes it easy to organize people when you make groups because you can say, okay, you can give so many of this level, that level, that level. But somehow they've come forward and said they're interested. A lot of it depends on how you market it. If you're not sure about it, if you think, you know, it's funny or something, then that is going to come across. And if you can present it in a very positive way and giving a blessing, and this has been approved by the GBC about 1993 or so or earlier, they approved this system. I mean, think of it this way. Look at some of the Gaudiya Mutt people going around. I don't know in Europe, if I think it's coming here, came here already. They come and give instant Harinams. Even the people don't, they might be on this level, but they give them Harinam. And then the rest of their life, they say, I'm so-and-so Maharaj's disciple. And they're just like, they can't integrate with ISKCON. It's very easily. So basically, we can't reduce our standard of initiation because for us, initiation means that we're guaranteeing that if you follow this, you'll go back to Krishna. So we can't say, you know, I guarantee you'll go back to Krishna if you chant one round and eat fish. Can we? You know, but some people are giving initiation to those people. But we can say that if you, this is a standard you should work for. You come up on this step. It's like a step. You come up to here. We recognize. We encourage them. Thank you. You're a faithful person. We're praying to Krishna to bless you. You try to come up to the perfectional place, and that way make them feel connected with Prabhupada. So if they feel connected with Prabhupada, then the likelihood that they go to some other group is less. No, there's still, if somebody really preaches, even our own ISKCON devotees are going. That way you can't say 100%. But it encourages them, it makes them feel they've been accepted, it makes them less likely to look outside. So there's many aspects to it. It also gives them what we call baby steps. We heard this from Naveen Krishna in some of his seminars. That make it, as Maharaj said, it's a natural thing. You tell someone comes in, they're regular coming, you want to recognize you're a member of our League of Devotees, or and then you say, if you can just chant one round a day, it'd be very nice. and regularly come to the meetings. So when they're regularly coming and they're chanting one round, then they're Sradhavan. First they're just coming and you know that they're very favorable, so you give them commitment, whatever, membership, just they belong.
Give them some paper?
Yeah, you can give a certificate. I have the wording of the certificate. I don't have the artwork done on it, but they made the copies, which I give. And the wording is there, that in the name of Radha, Madhav, or whoever the deities are, the blessing on this person, the wordings are all there. And accordingly, you make it with some pictures and things and give them like a certificate. Especially kids love it. I saw so many, and when the kids start getting it, then the parents can't keep out easy. They also get drawn in. Kids are pretty purifying. So then from one round, if someone starts one round, you tell them, please chant four rounds. It's not different. If you're already doing one round for, say, a few months, then the four rounds, you know, people, anyway, some people, they just, not that you have to go. If somebody jumps up, it's okay. But if someone is slow, you know, I've met people where I've done these campaigns and asked people at big festivals, who will chant one round a day? And I think, you know, if you do festivals, you can try this. In India, we get thousands of people to raise their hand. I give out mass, you know, certificates. Someone, we went to this house. After 10 years, he had a certificate nailed on the bamboo in the house. And he told me, I'm still chanting the one round. I said, you know, you can increase it. Oh, really? I didn't know. I thought only one. No, you can. So you got to watch out sometimes. I met people also chanted, people coming up for initiation. They said, you know, so many years ago, I got that certificate from you. Or from some other ISKCON person. Many people give out these. One time I tried it in New Orleans at a festival. We had a big, and I know this is America, and I thought I had about 200 people there looking like this, you know. Still, I thought, anyway, let me try it. Just what happens? So I announced that we have this program. We want, this is the order of Lord Chaitanya, and everyone should take up the order to chant every day. If you just chant 10 minutes a day, your life will become sublime, you'll feel happy, and we'll give even a certificate for you, a blessing here, that you can get, this has the mantra on it. So please, take this opportunity. Who would like to come forward and get this? Something like that. So, nobody moved. Oh, I was really embarrassed. You know, I kept talking, you know, and suddenly one person came. And I realized for this, in the West, you have to have the plant in there with somebody. It's like a carnival people. They have one guy goes in and comes forward to buy the combs and things when they're selling. You need one because the people are too much self-conscious. Not like India, everybody raised their hand. And one person came forward. The 20 people came up. That's pretty, I thought in America, off the street, just a cold, 20 people came up and said, yeah, I'll chant 10 minutes a day Hare Krishna, I'll try it. I said, just try it. For 2 months you try it, see if there's any change, no cost. I had 20 people. I thought that was pretty good, you know, for America, you know, just cold. And I think like in places like Poland and Slovenia and all these places when you have a festival, I told Indra Dunamara he could get hundreds of people because these people are very open kind of people and they're not so... So you get people to start, you give them baby step, one step after another. So I'm going to give this out for the temples. Now, I don't have enough for everyone. We have 20 copies. Maharaj can decide who gets, so each area has the words. So, but this is a thing. If you start this program, and then you start the training up the people, that what is the, then everyone that's in this, you say, part of our program, all these people should be within the bhakti branches. Then it makes it very easy. You see, who's interested spiritually? And those people, that's one way of doing it. I mean, maybe you already have the branches, no problem. But this is a easy way to organize, to get the people more interested in their own spiritual life. And then to, once they've taken that commitment and got that blessing, you say, now we have these branches are there to help you and give you further training. And also to, you can get some association with other like-minded people. So it works, the thing complements each other. Yes?
Maybe one is supposed to hurry up too much.
Sometimes. Sometimes. Even some people take initiation and they don't keep it. But that way, what they do generally is whatever people want, to give them one lower. So that way they... In other words, some people may already be up 8, they want 8, and they say, well, look, you just started 8. Let's give you the seva, and you do this a few more, and then next, after 2-3 months, we'll give you this one. So you kind of, that's what they do in Bengal. They start them off one lower than what they should qualify. That way they can quickly get the, because they're already qualified for the next one, actually. just started to be qualified. So by giving them the one lower, then very soon, after a month or two, they can give the next one. So they already feel like, shh, I really made progress. Where if you just gave them this one, this would take a long time to get up the next one. So it's like a psychological. But if you, I mean, the point, that's why we have the groups and we have the backup. You can make them wait. It's even, you know, if someone was a sadhak, I've had people, devotees, say, well, you know, I was a sevak so many years ago, and I kind of fell down and left, and now I can come back. Anybody, it shows something that they had come up to that level. And usually, if you have with these groups, I think we'll be protecting them much better. This problem happened more because the temple wouldn't take care of their people.
In our congregation, at least 10 persons who chant 16 rounds only for 5 years, and they did not get somehow recognized. So it is now our duty from preachers, senior, or whoever, to go to the spirit monk. Some of them are very shy because they think they are not qualified. Still, even if we chant, we don't live in the temple, and they're really good people.
Yeah, so you give them, so those people, immediately give them Prabhupada Asraya. So we are recognizing what they did in San Diego, of California, America. They started a similar program like this. They told that so many of our congregation has been practicing for so long, but we've never recognized you. Everybody is like all the same, but we know you're not all the same. Some of you are much more committed. We want to give you this blessing and recognize you, that you've taken shelter of Prabhupada, and you're following his process. And so then after that, then you can tell them, you know, that this is the process. If you want to take shelter of a guru, you can. In fact, anyone who's been chanting over a year, even if they're not chanting 16 round, they can become an aspirant of a guru, according to the GBC law we passed last year. This is especially for kids and for congregation. Because sometimes what happens, you get some Indian people, they may be chanting so many years, but they may be attached to one guru, and they're actually getting some benefit from their guru. And if they are considered like an aspirant, that's like they accept the guru as a shiksha guru. It's almost like being on shelter, but what we consider shelter means it's just preparing for initiation, and they're not at that level yet. But they're accepting the guru as the shiksha guru. So they have a bona fide relationship. And like little kids, little big kids, some of them don't always chant 16 rounds for a long time, but they may be attached to a particular guru. So by having that relationship, it keeps them more fixed in Krishna consciousness. So the GBC agreed, and there's a system for that also, that the local authority should consider they are mature enough to make such a decision. And they can. There's aspirant and there's a guru asraya. These are different tools that you can use to help people. Guru asraya means shelter, and aspirant means it's like also kind of shelter, but we call it aspirant. Aspiring to be under the shelter, whatever. Yes, Maharaj?
I wanted to ask about these blessings, these different blessings. Is there...
On behalf of the deity.
The deity's blessing.
Yeah, the deity's blessing. How substantial is this in spiritual life? What I think it's wonderful to give recognition for different levels. I just wanted to know how...
Are we just cheating people or something? Is that kind of a doubt? Or?
Because they chant 4 rounds, they cannot be considered cheated, but isn't that that they are blessed by...
I mean, if the temple president, he prays to the deity, Dear Gornitai, it's given in front of the deity, Dear Gornitai, please have your blessings upon Bhakta Norman, in his advancement of Krishna, I don't remember all the words, I'll give it on the sheet, because for being a Krishna sevak and chanting. I mean, as the priest in the temple, you have a right to pray the deities to give your blessings for the spiritual progress. And such a request certainly will have some value. It's not, they're coming, I mean, Krishna definitely is going to appreciate that they've taken some commitment to come up in front of the deity and bow down and get some, and the priest is praying to the deity to give blessing. It will have some value. I don't know how to put it on a kilo scale. Okay.
Are couples counted in this group?
How are the couples counted?
But it's, you cannot divide them. In Pura, they're like one, but I just heard it over the grapevine.
Many times in that Korean cell church, that Dr. Cho,
the American cell church, they say 15 people. And multiply. He's the American in Singapore's hooked up with the American guy. They're fanatic about that. The soul church from Korea, who's the biggest. He said if the group gets a little bigger, it's not a big problem because it's successful. I mean, that's not the worst problem. And he said should be 15 is a good standard, or 15 couples, which means 30, which is, you know, but maybe the Koreans don't talk much. I don't know, I mean, whether the so I just, but there was a little flexibility there that they used, that maybe you can have different numbers. But it seems that, you see, there's a kind of a scientific thing. I guess it would depend how active the husband and wives are. There's a thing, like, say you have two people, right? You have one communication line, isn't it? Going like that. Now you put three people, right? And then you have six lines. Three lines. Three, I mean, two ways, and this now becomes six. You put over here, and suddenly it's increased. So there's some kind of a four. Now we've got here 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. So it's something like this. N squared minus N equals communication lines. Formula. But you, as you add, you know, we got here, okay, so now we make an 8 group. And then you make, you know, 16, and so after a while you got so many communication lines going that it says when you get above 15 it no longer has become such a small group. That's what the Americans point. But the Korean guy said, well, you know, okay, this is a principle, but it's not the biggest problem, you know. You got to see that, he said, what's more important is that your training leader is ready to take the new group. If you just divide and he's not ready, that's the worst problem. The fact that your communication has not become so intimate anymore is the second thing, but you should train up that the training leader is ready and then multiply. That's what he stressed. So you have to work with families. If it's a mixed group, they're going to stay together. You have to take that into consideration.
They are more or less just checking the youngest. If they are the senior preachers, or the younger, junior preacher, if they are checking, if their preaching is like effective and appreciated in that sense, or do they also like yesterday when in the group, when I spoke with this young new member, I actually just asked him how he felt about the preaching of the junior member. So like in the way that one can check how these junior members are doing, and not like educating so much preaching to the new member.
Yeah, you can also, that's part of the thing, is you want to check and make sure that they're being properly trained, that everybody gets a good training, that it's being handed down.
That's why the group leader meets with the young people, because he sees one of the young people's like in the molds. You might even talk to him out afterwards and give some special care. It's not that the leader never talks with the new people, but the basic thing, someone's there, but he's still overseeing it. If there's some problem, he talks, what's the problem? Well, you know, actually, I'm facing this problem, and see, this person's not helping me. So you may switch also the person who's guiding. It's very highly interactive and mobile. Even you may find one person is creating trouble in one group and shift him to another group. I just got an information from Muscat that there was one group had all like new people, and so their discussion was not so nice. So what they did is they imported three senior and junior preachers from another group to bring up the standard of this one group, and then the group became much nicer. It's like everybody was neophyte. And the leader was having trouble because they all want to talk about crazy things, and it was hard to keep the thing. And there was no not enough senior people to keep it easily disciplined. So they adjusted like that. Just so you can see that as the things grow, okay, this will repeat, but then remember this one. So here we have our group leaders and everything. But now we want to discuss what happens when the group gets bigger, and it, after multiplication, how does it managed? So, here's an overview. You have the group leader, intern, and you have the members. Then when you get 3 to 5 groups, you put someone in charge. We call a sector senapati, or in Bengali we call upachakra. And he has a trainee also. Everybody has a trainee. So that way, as things grow, you have someone ready to take the next level. Then when you get these, each of these are sectors. So when you have 3 to 5 sectors, you have a circle senapati or coordinator and his training. So that's your overview. Now this is all coordinated by your Namhata leaders from the. So how this works in a temple situation, here we have ISKCON temple, either a president or a Namhat director. You know, in some places there may be no temple, but you want to just have a Namhat director. So he acts as if like a temple president for that region. And he's a regional Namhat director. So here we go, we've got already, you can have anywhere, you know, 1 group, 4 group, 3 group, whatever, up to 5 groups, say, one person could oversee. So here the groups are being overseen by your president or through a director of Namhata or by a regional Namhata director, and he's overseeing. Could be 3, could be 4. But when you get more, say you get 6 to 10, then, like they did in Croatia, then they had 2 people, each was coordinating 5. So this is what we call upa, this is what we call, so sector coordinator. But see how it kind of grows naturally? Like, if I just show, I could show the whole thing, I could show it first, and then it seems like, oh, this is too complicated and everything. So don't have to worry, you just start off with how many groups. But when you get more groups, then it's natural, you divide, and 3 to 5, one person coordinates.
Do? What would be his service?
What the coordinator does is he's responsible to, every month he visits all of the groups once, at least. If there's any problem, he's the first one to come and see it. He has to give regular reports. He'll recommend people for sevaks and sadak. The Gokul person will recommend, he has to approve it. If somebody, say one leader here is sick or some problem, he can step in and take charge of the group for some time. It's like these group leaders are very new because you're just expanding so quickly. So they may not feel so confident. They can always phone him up and say, I'm facing a problem. I got this new person came in here. His name is, Ludwig. And he is a very tough guy. Every time he's just shouting and he wants to control the whole thing, and I'm telling him, please, we want to work, and I try to talk, but he don't care anything for me. So then the sector coordinator comes in and talks with Ludwig. That please, then he shifts him out. Okay, Ludwig, I tell you what. You go over here with this group, and that one, that guy, he's, Karate Do 2 leader, and so he can handle better. This was a too soft guy for Ludwig. Or he may tell Ludwig, Ludwig, you really are too advanced for these groups. You should be serving directly with the temple in their program, because it's not a team worker. The groups are for team people. You know, they have to be, one person wants to be like, it's like in a football team, if one guy always wants to take the ball, it's not going to work. You have to pass it to other people, and isn't it? Okay, now the groups have grown, and we have got how many groups now? 13 groups. So now you made 3 sectors, or 13 groups here in 1 circle, but you could have so many like this circle. So when you have 2 or 3 sectors, you can make a circle coordinator. So it's something that grows organically. I didn't show that person in our friend in Singapore. He's up to the next level, district level. And he says because now he's got over several hundred groups and about 10,000 people. So about almost 1,000 groups he had, about 800 or 600. So he said, now I have up to district level, but I'm going to start a new level. I think I'm going to call it division and then region and then the regions beyond. I made a joke. In other words, you can go on adding levels as many as you need, depending on if you get 10,000 or 100,000 groups, you better have a lot of levels, right? Okay. So we have up to this level already in Bengal. With 2,000 groups, we've taken it up to the district supervisor level. And we have up to the regional. He goes around and sees the groups, but there may be over 100 groups in his area. Like some of our district supervisors in Bengal are overseeing 200 groups. They may visit a group once in 2 years. But what they do is they have district sammelans, and the circles have every 3 months, they have some bigger gathering. At that time, the district supervisor comes and he speaks there. He's a full-time dedicated preacher, but these are, householders. I mean, part-time student. They're like part-time preachers. They're the congregation, and this person has been sent. The district supervisor is a big job. 200-300 or more groups. It's no joke. So here's a little overview. You can call any, we call it coordinator, you can call it whatever you like, you know, it doesn't really matter. The idea is that they have every, there's a whole science behind it. Everybody has some responsibility they can handle. I tried to put this here in English, you have the level, first level is your group. You have a second level, we call in English sector. In Bengali, we call it a upa chakra, part of a circle. So this is average is your, say, four groups, 3 to 5, roughly four. Then third level, circle or chakra, that's like 12. Then district, what we call in Sanskrit, mahachakra. And division, call it mala, because it's 108. But what's happened is sometimes in one district, we don't have enough people. We've just taken it up to here, that this is congregation, and we have too many people in the district. That some district people are complaining they got too many to handle. But if you do it more systematically, then you can do it in this way. Could be any name. So here's, I want to just give an overview, because the most important thing we found is your circle level. This is where your hands-on management really comes, is the circle. So in the circle, what happens is that your sector coordinator, he visits every group once a month. And that means in a quarter, he'll have visited, quarter meaning 3 months, he'll visit each group 3 times. Your circle will visit each group in 1 quarter once. Now, we worked this out that a grihastha, he's already going to meet, go to the temple, he's going to have different kind of other meetings. If he goes once a night, once a week to different groups, then in 12 weeks, which is 3 months, he can visit all the 12 groups. So it's not like a load that's too much for them to keep. Maybe the 2 nights, maybe some special preaching, and one attending the different programs on rotation. So this circle is a level where they can actually keep really in touch with what's happening. Sector is right, every week is, every month has visited everyone, and the circle. Why this is important? I mean, maybe it seems like, okay, this is another one of these too complicated. But I was explaining in the very beginning, if you remember, that when you make a group, the group is independent. You don't have like a Big Brother 1984, Orwell book, some two-way mirror, you know, that watching what they're doing or something. You don't know, and they're on their own, and you have put leaders you have faith in. But maybe there's some problem comes up over time because they are independent, and you want to be able to help them and not see them get lost. So therefore, having these kind of visits from other people keeps, it's a way of keeping the link. And this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's system right out of his book. This is, you know, it's a way of giving autonomy and independence and still keeping contact. Without this, you don't have contact. They have to give reports and you have people visiting them. They feel they're taken care of. It's not that they're coming in, you know, like, okay, I'm your authority. It's like an elder brother, elder sister, someone coming in, helping, seeing how things go, they're a little more experienced. To be a sector leader, you already were a group leader and had taken a group through 2 multiplications. That means you're more expert than that person who just maybe newly become a group leader. You can help them look at this is how, you know, because it's always happening so quick. If the groups grow so quickly, then they might have a lot of rough edges. They're not fully trained, you know, they're like more or less trained. So the training goes on, and then how to bring them up to the next level, the sector and the circle, they can also give some further training. And once a month, all the groups can get together and have a meeting with the sector leader and have a kind of a big meeting. That's what we call a sector mahamilan, or great gathering. And that's also exciting for them, and you do a big Harinam or something, and you do it in different places, like in 1 week, it may, 1 month maybe in one area, another area. So with a few devotees, you can create a lot of action. Doesn't, not so boring, not the same thing, there's always, and once every 3 months or 6 months, you do a big program with the circle. Yeah? We've been, that's how they did it in Bengal, and I can see now that it's not, because we've never really trained the sector leader what they should do. And I'm not giving too much time for this here, because until you get to that point, which is maybe a year down the way, what's the use of saying so much now? You're going to forget everything. I tell you anyway. But I'm just, it's going to be a detail in the matter. But we did that. We found that what happens is that the person has to have a lot of extra time. And a lot of time there's conflict. If you really train up the sector leader, what they have to do, and they do all of that, they have enough to do. But what happens is sometimes, you know, people being a group leader, you get more hands-on control, and the sector is a little more brahminical. So you have to choose the right person, you have to preach to them, see who can do that. So here's your overview. Any other question? Now, what I was mentioning here, sector level, once a month reunion, circle level, a quarter, big festival, district level, one or two training sessions or festivals per year. Sometimes in a circle level, you may just have all the leaders come together and you go out and have some leaders and their trainee leaders and you have a nice association. Maybe go out to Ayubin Tower, whatever it is, or someplace and get together and discuss and hear what their problems are and it's equipping. Or sometimes you may have a big festival with all the people coming together, organize a circle festival. These are all optional, but these are things that we are doing and it works out pretty good. District level, we have a training session also, bring all the leaders together and they get to see, wow, there's so many leaders and it creates a lot of enthusiasm. And then your whole temple should have a once a year at least a big Maha festival for all the Namhata. That's it. That's a very enlivening thing. Yes, questions?
So many groups, this will come over with us, so we will start this one in two groups.
Right.
I would like to ask you, you brought up the example about Bhakta Lipi. So another experience of mine is how to deal with people who like to be in the group, maybe chanting 16 rounds, but don't want to take up responsibility. One is planning a program, and one day before they are calling, my grandmother is coming, like this. How to deal with such people? Don't they fit in the group, or how?
Well, that's your, it may be, could be a problem case category. A lot of times, it's like a failure on our part to use psychology with how to deal with the people. Like, if people are given things to do that they like to do, like we heard today, we're having over prasadam some discussion about varna and ashrama. And one of the things that came up was Naveen Krishna Prabhu said that Prabhupada had told him how to tell what someone, or someone can tell, what is their varna. You know what he said? What makes you happy and what else? When you do it, you feel happy and you can do it easy. Then that shows that's like your nature. So I'm going to have a little show here that tells what, how we can present to the life, to the members of the Namhata. What is the philosophy? Like the whole point is service attitude. We call it nurturing, cultivating, and propagation. So the cultivation means cultivating the service attitude. Now part of that is in the discussion how everyone should take some responsibility, this whole taking some service to Krishna, that is our special dharma. That's how we advance in Krishna consciousness, by taking some service for Krishna. So throughout the whole program, we're trying to enthuse people that they should have a service attitude. But then from the leader's point of view is try to find what service is interesting. Maybe that person loves to sew, but you keep asking the person to cut potatoes. And maybe they have an infection on the hands and they don't like to go there. Or maybe they always fight with the person who's in the kitchen because they don't get along. I mean, there may be some other reason behind it. So sometimes just talking to the person and saying, you know, you're a very, and praising the person, you know, you're a very nice devotee, you chant so many rounds. And I think you're very serious about your spiritual life. And you know how important it is that everyone takes some responsibility, but I know that it should be something you like to do, and this I'd like to hear from you. What is the kind of service that you are interested in doing, or what, you know, and then maybe the person, you know, thinks about it and comes up with some, what I really like to do is write. Or sometimes you may trick someone. In the meeting, in the discussion, you say, you read out a verse where it says people should be engaged according, because you can choose the verse. So you pick a verse like that that says, you know, people should be engaged according to their nature and everything. And then in the discussion, you already, you know, have a few questions as the keynote question for the discussion planted. And then people will start saying, you know, one of the things is we should do something that we like to do for Krishna. We should offer something to Krishna. So different people say, well, can you share with us what are the things you'd like to do for Krishna? Well, if you could do anything you wanted for Krishna, what would you do for Krishna? And then, you know, ask someone else to speak. And but you really know this is the person who's been hardest to engage. And you ask that person, hey, what would you, if you could do anything you wanted for Krishna, what would you like to do? Well, I'd really like to make flower arrangements, you know. Really, flower, all right, you know. Or who knows, there was something. I really like to do drama. I love art. And maybe you can find the thing that will bring that person in. You know, everybody's looking for their niche. I've even known devotees in temple go from one service to another, and then finally they get the thing they really like. It's really their nature. So that's why this, the preaching and dealing with people, it requires a lot of constant use of intelligence and meditation and That's where the sector leader is a little more experienced. Or in the beginning, there'll be no sector leader. You're the sector leaders. You're the organizers. So you have to guide back up the group leaders and give them the training to be able to deal with cases like that. You may have to personally come and talk with the person. And then the group leader, wow, the Namhat directress or director is so expert. I mean, they knew exactly how to engage this person. I couldn't figure it out. They think it's like some mystic power you have. When it's just, you know, knowing, you have to listen. A lot of times we don't listen. We just tell people, why don't you do this? But then sometimes we have to hear from them. What do they realize? What do they want to do? What are they interested in? And then you can hear so many things they say and try to give them little bits to do. And there may be some people, though, that are so lazy. You know, but I think that there are not so many that lazy. It's that we're not so expert in engaging them, and sometimes, you know, they do a little bit and you praise them, oh, thank you, you did so wonderful, and this was really great. And then, you know, after a while, they might feel more enlivened about doing it. I mean, it'll probably be, that's what you got the P, problem or P. We expect that every group will have one lazy or crazy, but not too crazy, not too lazy. Just, you know, but little, you know, you won't tell them you're a P. You just say you're a regular member, yeah, but somehow they never get promoted to junior preacher because they don't want to. They don't want to. So the idea of having the junior preacher and senior preacher, they see everybody else coming by, you know, fired up and how they're talking about Sankirtan and the preaching, and then another one. Pretty soon they say, oh, gee, I'd like to be a junior preacher too. Really? Well, you can go out on Tuesday nights with one of the junior preachers and learn how to do it. And then contagious, you know, if everybody's, you know, I've been here for 10 years and I'm still a regular member, you know. Am I doing something wrong? Yeah?
Yeah, the basic question that we have already devotees in the temple who are bhaktas, not until now initiated, maybe 1-2 years in the temple, but still we cannot even give them responsibility. Mm. It's sometimes like this, as the temple president doesn't think even they can bring up the pick garbage away or something like this, so they have to control all this. But now we should give, you know, persons who are just a few weeks, a few months, full responsibility about the whole group. So that means also the structure from our leaders above us have to change somehow. So how we bring this in? I mean, that's more a social problem, but not so much a preaching one.
Well, that's a question that, as you say, there depends who you take in your temple as a bhakta. There are people in the army that are privates for their whole life. And there's some people come up and become corporal, sergeant, non-commissioned officer, things like that. It depends a lot on their initiative. In a group of intelligent people, you should find a certain number of people willing to do it. Now, we're not talking about that someone joins and immediately they're going to be the group leader. It may take 2 years to be a group leader. It may take 1 year. I don't know. I mean, 1 year would be pretty fast. It may take 2-3 years before they get to be a group leader. How long would it take? You only need one group leader a year. There's 12 people. So it's not like everybody's going to be a group leader in 1 year. And you might go up a few. Probably group leaders would be when they're initiated, or at least they're like Prabhupada Asrai. We said in Mayapur, in our workshop, that they said bare minimum should be like a Krishna Sadaka, but usually probably be even higher than that. Krishna Sadaka is the 8 rounds with the altar and everything. It's like a bare minimum. But the preferred was, you know, at least a Prabhupada Asrai or something like that. Of course, if you start multiplying every 3 months, like in Abidjan, Ivory Coast, then if your groups grow so fast, then we have to do a lot of training programs like they're doing in South Africa with this training programs. They have degrees and everything. To be a district leader, what the Christians do is they make a person go for 1 year for intensive theological training, and then they put them on a salary, and they're full-time dependent people.
Maharaj, in some different places, this program is going in different names. I mean, like this is Namahatta, they are giving name as Shraddha Kuti or something. So it should be only Namahatta.
Shraddha Kuti is another term. A Shraddha Kuti is, I didn't bring it up because I don't want to confuse things. But since you brought it up, I'll just... Shraddha Kutir is a term Bhaktivinoda Thakur used for a whole family being Krishna conscious. And we use this, that in our Namhattas, when you get a whole family that's Krishna conscious, it's a separate category. You call it a Shraddha Kuti, Shraddha Kutir. So if the whole family, husband, wife, and kid, the whole family is Krishna conscious, then you give like certificate, okay, you're a Shraddha Kuti. And in fact, you know, that's a lot better than saying you got just the husband Krishna conscious and the wife is, you know, okay, you can go, but I'm not interested. That's not so nice. Or just the wife. it's like more, you know, it's limited. But if you, so we try to encourage, we try to reward them and appreciate, you know, if their whole family becomes Krishna conscious, then you're a Shraddha Kuti. And that if we have in a group many Shraddha Kutirs, then we feel that that's a success rating. That's very good.
Yes, Namahat.
Yeah, this is a detail. This is one of our sub-programs within the Namahat. In some places you just have one family. You probably have that in some towns there's only one family and nobody else is a devotee. But there's this one family that's fired up and they're doing puja and they got an altar in their house. You ever find a little village, some place like that? So that we call it a Shraddha Kuti, and they're like kind of our representative. Thank you very much. They work so hard. We got to give a hand for the two bhaktas at the copying machine and Bhakta Rene. And what's your name, Prabhu?
Bhakta?
Bernard and Rene. I have a, when I see it, I got a little show, which is, it's a show that you can use for the congregation or for the some of the basic, to enthuse them on the need for participating in this kind of a program. It's also good for us because it helps us to know. This is immerse in the nectar of Krishna consciousness. Everyone should get fully involved in Krishna conscious activity, immersed in the nectar, doing things they like for Krishna, and trying to improve their devotion, increase the preaching. Right? This is, but why? Why do we want people to, is it just that, you know, ISKCON's interest, or is it their own personal interest? So the idea is that if we engage our senses in Krishna service, Krishna seva, what happens? You get purified. When you're purified, what happens? You're joyful. We joyfully serve Krishna. Just like here, there's a nice festival. We're installing the Prabhupada Didi in Mayapur. Mentally, you can just touch the lotus feet here. You can see how here's the Jayadvaita. I see everybody. Is it hard work they're doing or they're joyful? What do you think? Ecstatic, right? Practically, you know, you can see Gopal Krishna Maharaj is practically crying in ecstasy. Everybody is very ecstatic. Devotional service, when we engage ourselves, when we're immersed in service, it's so ecstatic, it's so wonderful, it's indescribable. But if we don't engage our service in Krishna, you know, then what happens? Or what's the alternative? We have two alternatives. Serve Krishna or engage. If not involved in Krishna seva, then we have Maya seva. Maya will keep us engaged. We heard once she engages us, she kicks us down and keeps us down. It's her service to Krishna. So she'll keep us engaged with so many things. So person has a choice. What do they want? They want to be involved in Krishna seva, in the joyful ecstasy, serving Prabhupada, spreading the Krishna conscious movement everywhere, or become under Maya's engagements, and she just keeps in various kinds. Of course, maybe tamasic or rajasic. I put here the four symbols of our main enemies, but there are also so many subtle enemies. But Maya somehow keeps us engaged. So that's why we need to engage our senses. In Krishna consciousness, we need to engage. But it's up to everybody. So you ask the congregation, who do you want to serve? It's up to you. The congregator, the people, they can say, do you want to serve? Do you want to serve Krishna or you want to just be serving Maya all the time? At least sometime you should serve Krishna. Maybe you can't always serve Krishna, but be on the way to give some time to serve Krishna. Sometime get some ecstasy. That time you'll be pure. And if you can come up to always serving Krishna, then you're a perfect bhakti yogi. But it can come gradually. So you have to decide ultimately who do you want to serve, the material nature eternally or Krishna, and you can give so many preaching. So what's the choice? You can have Maya service or Krishna's. Tick the box. Who wants Maya service? Who wants Krishna service? Gauranga! Harivo! We did this, right? We did this in Pula. We did in Pula. Nobody chose Maya. All wanted Krishna's. So we all have free will. It's not that we're forcing anybody. It's their own free will. You can do whatever you like. We should know that. It's just like in the airplanes nowadays, they say, thank you very much for flying with us. We know there are many airplanes you could have flown with, and we're really happy. So we know that everybody, if you wanted to, you could be in Maya, you could be doing something else. We're really grateful that you're serving Krishna, and this is for your benefit. And of course, we do have that additional. Not that we're being puffed up, but we know that it's Krishna's mercy. So what effectively involves the congregation in Krishna consciousness? A non-active temple, a temple with an active weekly program, this is for all of you, a temple with a congregational program, or a temple with bhakti branches, cell groups, full programs, and an active involved congregation. Which is going to effectively involve the congregation? What do you think? Here's your inactive group, 5% involvement. Your active group, maybe 15%. Your group with some congregational programs, but no, maybe 40%. I gave some 35%. But if you have the fourth one, you get practically 95% everybody involved. We can figure out here. We got Krishna consciousness, joy. It's like a crossword puzzle. Not there. So Namhat Bhakti branches grow. This is the GBC resolution.
Double the congregation by training and empowering the congregation through local Namhata cell groups or Bhakti branch groups. Double it every year.
Alright, so how many of you are prepared to double it?
Hare Krishna, fantastical. What's the benefits? Involvement of the congregation, empowerment, involve them, then you empower them to also take up some responsibility, they make advancement. The whole Krishna conscious activities of the temple, everything expands, is increased. The preaching expands, fulfillment of Prabhupada's desires. So, what steps should everyone take? Learn the bhakti branch process that you've been doing. Leaders and members should train. So the leaders here have trained. Now the members, you have to train them. Then you implement the program. Then all the active congregations should be involved in the bhakti branches. So first you have some training. Oh, that's the thing I wanted. Ooh. A lot of you wanted to see what was the qualification of a group leader. That was important. Maharaj, you want to read?
And the quotations are, hold a festival at home by distributing prasad and talking about Krishna and holding congregational chanting in the evening. This procedure must be adopted in all centers of the Krishna consciousness movement. Thus they will daily perform Sankirtan Yajna. Chaitanya Charitamrita Marja Lila 3, verse 203.
It gives many more details, but this was the essence. Every temple should be having this bhakti branch or this daily home program. How to get started. So we're going to first talk about who can participate. We're going to go through this real fast because of time. Temple devotees can participate, initiated congregation, anyone chanting one round and more, and other active congregation that you feel can be committed. Who can lead? Now, first quality should have is service-minded. Can I get four more qualities a leader of a group should have?
Yeah.
Facilitator. Anything else? Should have some dedication. Anything else?
Responsible.
Know how to empower devotees.
Enthusiasm. Let's see what we got here. Should be a responsible devotee, mature counselor, or preacher. The idea is in the small groups, you're going to have the other, as you move up, they can become more expert as in all these areas. But for the group leader, mainly has to be a facilitator. Has to care for and appreciate the devotees. Be responsible, experienced, service-minded. You don't want that you come to the group and find the leader is not there, right? That'd be, of course, may happen sometime. Should have a basic knowledge of Krishna consciousness. Should be convinced about Krishna consciousness. So, well, the scripture says this, but I don't really believe it. Be a problem, wouldn't it? Should be enthusiastic, you said that. Should be straightforward and honest. This is brought up. If a person lies and things like that, it can be a big problem. Able to communicate. Sometimes people complain, he never talks, she never talks. This is a very important thing. Has and willing to give time. It is going to take some time to be a group leader. You're going to visit people in their homes. You're going to know everybody in the group. So many times I've had congregational members tell me, I wanted to get initiated. I went to the temple. The president asked if I could get recommended. And the president said, how do I know what you do? Come and look. You know. But the president, I have no time. So the group leader is someone who knows everybody in the group. Visits, at least has to visit their house once, knows what their situation is, knows what their altar is like. Should be loyal and able to represent ISKCON. This is a temple's link or ISKCON's link with this group of 10 to 15 people. And we expect that they should be loyal. Not that, you know, I mean, if they have a problem or they have a doubt, they can talk, but not to the group members. They should know that. It's like, so you build them up. You bring them in, have meeting. You're like an officer or a leader, and you know, we're putting our faith in you. And you have to make them feel appreciated that they're doing this for Krishna and that you're actually trusting them to that extent. Now, hopefully, when you have good people, you're going to find that they'll reciprocate. Generally, we find that people do reciprocate when you give them some faith in them. Okay, here's a few other good qualities. Should have little leadership abilities, friendly and likable, humble and trainable. Now, somebody might not get 100%. Sounds like a superstar. But these are the things that you also, in the training programs, these are not secrets. These will be known that these are the kind of qualities we're looking for. And hopefully people will try to, who have an ambition to take more responsibility. I mean, hopefully everybody, if you have a whole group and everybody is simply thinking how to not take any responsibility, that group is not going to go anywhere, is it? So then that group, you may want to divide it up to other groups that are more enthusiastic, and that's a next course. Here's some other qualities which are not so good. Da, 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 da. Qualities to be avoided. What would you like to avoid? Arrogance. Of course, since we already said enthusiastic, so they wouldn't even got considered if they were lazy, yes? Well, that's the same. Dominance. And because we said they had to be loyal. Anything that's the opposite of the previous. These are new areas which haven't been covered. Not too angry or short-tempered by nature. Sometimes, you know, if a person, the person comes in and just, you know, blows up and starts screaming, you know, you could blow out a lot of people quick, right? So if somebody, if you find they got really too angry or short-tempered, then they may have to stay a senior preacher for a long time before they can be a group leader, because they just blow everybody out. They have to learn to control their anger, and they have to be worked with. Look, probably want to make you a leader, but you lose your temper. You got to learn to be more tolerant and all these other things. And then this thing you said, not in a controlling mode, not too arrogant or too much controlling. You want to facilitate, you want to let everybody participate. You want everyone, the whole idea of the group is get everyone have a chance to serve Krishna. Not that you do all the talking. That's what we do in the temple. The brahmanas do all the preaching. But here it's different. We want to give everybody a chance. This is an interesting one. Not a complainer, bitter, or ungrateful nature. As if they're always a complaining nature and they start complaining to their group, you know, or they're bitter, you know, oh, my group leader, my sector leader never comes by here, or something. It would discourage people, you know. They should know they can't complain. If they have a complaint, legitimate complaint, they make it to the higher up. Shouldn't be like sometimes devotees that left the temple, they become bitter. And that's the biggest obstacle for them to be a good Namhat preacher, because if that bitterness comes out, if they can just control that and see, we'll give them a chance, we'd like to give them some responsibility, but this is something which is an obstacle they need to work on if they have that bitterness. Okay? Here's what a group leader does. Memorize this in 3 seconds, 3 minutes or less. Should see that the individual members develop knowledge of and faith in Krishna. That's his duty. If he can see the group members have developing faith in Krishna, then it's very good. He has to see the members learn to practice Krishna consciousness. And we have some materials to help in that. Let the members learn to apply Krishna consciousness to overcome their own life trials. Learn to take shelter of Krishna when it gets rough. See that the members cultivate a Krishna conscious service attitude. And see that they engage in devotional service up to their capacity. See they learn how to preach Krishna conscious effectively. And see that they can save others as an instrument of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. That's a pretty big, tall order. It's a big responsibility. I think, it's like a little mini president in a sense, but not exactly, not so much heaviness. But, because they're not going to come up to him asking for the soap and for all these other things, the money. But this preaching is a beautiful responsibility. You have this on your disc, by the way. Now, how does he do this? How does he facilitate that? He visits and phones the members at their home. He's supportive to the group members. He delegates a caring person, a personal caretaker. He delegates the caring to a personal caretaker, because he can't take care of 15 people. He's got a wife and family, and he's got the other. So he delegates. He knows everybody, visits, phones them, sees, but he delegates some caretaker. He prepares for each meeting in advance. He doesn't go in, you know, what's the verse, you know. He recognizing the members' level of achar and seva. He knows exactly what, and he appreciates them for that. He keeps the records of the members' data. He knows the addresses and everything for all the members, how to get in touch with them. He submits regular reports to his director, and he teaches a trainee servant leader. Getting reports, that's the hardest thing, I tell you. Really hard. Should give every week they have a meeting, they should send it. Well, we know we had to forms, real easy, tick off, and just fill in, you know, make it the minimum writing, and then you can get it done. Every meeting they have, a little form should be there, and then once every 6 months or quarter, they should fill out a more detailed progress report on the individual members. I'm not going into all those kind of details, but in fact, I don't even know that's going to be in the manual, but we have that in Bengal. I have to add that to the manual. Preaching a training servant leader. See, so this is your basic, what he has to do, but to facilitate the group progress. It's not insurmountable. Now, this is a little chart on how you've seen here, you know, you've seen those mystical pyramids. That's not one of those. This is a special leadership tool. You have your innovator, your group, your leader, who is a person that went to the course here, knows the whole program. He wants to see that bhakti branches start. He has a few other people, or she has a few other people that are also into it. Maybe they also attended a course, maybe not. So he creates a panchatattva group, 5. This is just a training group. They'll all meet together. And this week, she'll be the head, and he'll be the head, and she'll be the head, and he'll be the head, like that. And they'll for 4 or 5 weeks, or a month or two, they'll go through the whole program. Like we did here, they'll do role play for a few times until everybody knows how to do it. Each one can lead the meeting. They're all expert. They've gone through it. They know, we know the whole thing. So that this is in case some people don't feel their self-confidence. There's another way to do it. If you do it yourself, you have temple leader come and lead the group for 6 months and get the other people trained up and then hand it over. Or otherwise, one leader may take the congregational people and do this type of practice group for a while. They feel confident and then have them go out and lead the group. Or if you have more people, then they can also form another panchatattva groups. And they will be like he was and train up and work with these 4. And he'll visit and see how they're doing. And this way, you've got now so many different people that they went through one cycle, then here they went through another cycle, they went through one, but these people went through 2 cycles already. So in this way, you get a lot of people trained up. It's a basic building block to start a new Namha group from the square one with a startup cell. These are called startup cells. They're not full-on cells, it's just practice, but they do it till they feel confident. If you do this, if you use this system, what you can do is you select your inner core, those 4 people, and you make up those startup cells. This helps to establish the service attitude. They get to learn not to be the controller, not to do all the things you're not, how to do it right, because they can practice on people. They're not going to burn out because they're all stronger people. They're all training up to be leaders. They get experience and test out the whole format of bhakti branches. As they each guide the group for their practice time, you get to see how Krishna conscious are they. So little you can kind of test it out and see the innovator, the leader, he can see that whether they're able to do it or not. And then you train this inner core to lead their own cell. Each one of them that has passed this training startup program, they will all form another startup cell with 4 more people and do the same thing to train those people to be. So these could even be maybe group leaders, and the next could be the training leaders. But, you know, you evaluate and see. Then you organize your actual Namhat cells and see. Maybe some of these aren't qualified to be a group leader. So what this does is gives you a program director who's got a couple of 2 to 3 experiences, inner core leader with at least 2, then 16 leadership leaders with another 1. And if they're married and they got spouses, if they work together as a husband-wife team, then you got spouses also have this experience. So you can get like about 21 to 42 people, depending how many, who have some. So this is a way of, you know, in a 1 or 2 months, maybe 2 months of training, you can get, while you're getting people organized in the Sradhavan and everything, then they can have a little practice training and everyone gets used to it, and then they get bored with all the practice and let's get into it. Okay, I'm ready.